And as we talked about Sunday night, you remember one of the great theme of the book of Hosea is God is dealing with a people that had turned from him. And remember, Hosea paints the picture where he represented God, and Gomer, his unfaithful wife, represented the nation of Israel as they turned from worshiping him to worshiping false gods, Baal, in that time. And the rest of what we're going to study tonight is how God told Hosea to deal with Gomer, and how that paints a picture of how God is going to deal with Israel, and how he's going to get them, how he's going to call them back from their going after false gods, and how he's going to have to punish them to get their attention, and then how he's going to woo them back to himself and then remarry them, so to speak, and then bless them because they have come back. And this is not just the theme of Hosea. Really, this is the theme of the whole Bible, how God, first of all, chose us, and then how he wants to have that husband-wife relationship with us. He wants to be our God, and he wants us to be his people. And how we turn from him, how we walk away from that love, and what he has to do to get us back. You stop and think of the message of the New Testament. It's the same message, how God came after us. Now, he didn't wait till we deserved it. I mean, if he waited till we deserved it, he would never come after us. He came after us when we were sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, not because we deserved it, but because he knew we needed it and didn't have any other way to get back to him. Romans 5:8, but God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, when we were still apart from him, when we didn't deserve it, he came after us. He loved us and sent Jesus to die for us. So tonight we're going to talk about Hosea chapter 2, verses 2 through 23. And we're going to talk about the symbolism again. And I'm going to talk about it tonight more in how God's going to deal with his people. But he's using the picture of Hosea dealing with Gomer and what he's going to do to get him back. And again, in this story, and it's a true story. The story of Hosea and Gomer is a true story. There really was a man named Hosea, a prophet of God, who married a wife, Gomer, who went into prostitution. Like we talked about Sunday night, they had one child together, and then Gomer had two more as a result of prostitution that Hosea took into his home and raised as his children. Gomer left and was gone as Hosea raised the children, and then when he was old, he bought her back at a slave auction and brought her back into his home and made her his wife. And in that same way, God is going to deal with his people, Israel. So in this story, true story, God, Hosea represents God. Gomer represents Israel, the nation that strayed from God. The children, and we're going to talk, and we mentioned the names and how the names represented the judgment of God on Israel. The children represent individual Israelites who stayed true to God, like Hosea. And so you're going to see in the very first verse that we talk about, Hosea ask his children to go plead with their mother to come back. Just like God asked the individual Israelites who stayed true to him, like Hosea, go plead with the people that turned away from me, ask them to come back. And then the lovers that Gomer went after represents the false gods that the nation of Israel went after. So in chapter 2, God outlines the steps that he's going to take to get his people back. And these are the steps that Hosea took to get Gomer back. Look at verse 2. Plead with your mother. Plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Now, Hosea, the three children, he's asked them, he says, now look, go plead with your mother. Go reason with your mother. Now he says there, for she's not my wife. Now that doesn't mean that they've officially divorced. I mean, in fact, Hosea had every right under the Jewish law to have Gomer taken and stoned because of her going into becoming a harlot. But what he's saying is, I'm not her husband. And she's not my wife. We no longer had the relationship that we had because Gomer's left. What he's asking the children to do is go talk to their mother and try to talk her into coming back into the home and taking again that position of being his wife. Just like God asked Hosea as the prophet, and those like Hosea who would remain true to him, go to the nation of Israel, the nation who in the majority turned away from me and have gone after these false gods, and ask them to come back. Plead with them to come back. Tell them to come back. And then notice what he says in verse 3. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. And what God is doing in those two verses, he's warning the nation of Israel. He's saying, look, if they don't come back to me, I am going to have to punish them. I'm going to have to do all these things, and it's a sixfold judgment. Six things God says: I'm going to strip her naked. I'm going to set her as the day that she was born. I'm going to make her as a wilderness, set her like a dry land, slay her with thirst, and I won't have any more mercy upon her. And what God is saying is, I'm going to put her in that place where she has to depend on me. Now, we're going to talk about in just a minute that the nation of Israel was confused and didn't understand where the blessings of life really come from. And what God is saying, if they don't turn back to me, I'm going to strip away all the necessities of life and the things that I bless them with, and I'm going to put them in a position where they're really going to have to discover who God is and who the source of their blessings are and who the source of the necessities that they need to live. I'm going to get them down to the point where they understand who really is God. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but sometimes God has to do the same things today to us. When we get to the point where we forget who our blessings come from and who really is God and what's really important with him, what does he do? He knocks the props right out from under us and says, now listen, let me get your attention. I mean, where does goodness come from? Where does the blessings of life come from? It's not your employer that gives you all that. God may use your employer to give you that, but they come from God. And I've mentioned it before. If I depend on General Motors for my living, I'm depending on the wrong source. I need to depend on God. If General Motors goes out of business tomorrow, Walt and I are not going to depend on General Motors. We're still going to depend on God to feed us. I mean, we're still his children. He's still responsible for us. Now, he uses companies to give us blessings and gives us the necessity of life, but we need to understand, just like the nation of Israel needed to understand, that the things of life and the things that we need come from God, not from man, not from the world. All right, then look at verse 5, and what God is saying here is that they're going to reject this warning. The nation of Israel is going to reject this warning. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. And here's what I mentioned just a moment ago. Gomer says, I'm going to go after these lovers, these false gods that provide me what I need, the blessings of life. And God's saying, hey, you're confused. He's telling the nation of Israel, you're confused. Baal and the false gods that you're worshiping are not providing you what you need. They're not giving you the necessities of life. That's coming from me. Okay, then in verse 6, it starts out with the word therefore. Now, what God is going to do in verses 6 through 8 is he's describing the actions that he's going to take to get Israel back. Look at verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. Let me just go ahead and read 7 and 8. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Hosea is painting a picture, and this is why some people think he was a farmer. And I mentioned Sunday night, we don't know what he was. He might have been a priest, he might have been a farmer, he might have been a baker. And you'll see why when we go through the book with some of the illustrations that he uses. But he's painting a picture here of a shepherd that puts a wall of thorns up along the path that he wants the sheep to go in. Some thorny bushes along the side. So that if a sheep gets off to the side, they'll get pricked and get back and go the way that he wants them to do. And I was thinking as I was studying this last night, you know, that's the same thing we need to do for our children. We need to put walls of thorns up. Now, you know, I remember when I was a teenager, I bristled at any restraints that my parents tried to put on me. But now that I'm older and look back, I appreciate those restraints because it kept me out of trouble. We ought to pray that God does the same thing to us. Put up a hedge of thorns so that when I walk in the way, if I get off track, I'll get pricked and get back. That's the way the shepherds did the sheep. They tried to turn away, they got pricked and said, oh, I'm going to stay in the, going this way. I'm going to go in the way the shepherd wants me to go. And notice what the results of that is. She shall not find her path. She won't, in other words, she won't find the path that leads to these false lovers, to these false gods. And she shall not follow after them. If she can't find the way to go, she won't follow after them. And if she won't follow after them, she won't overtake them. So she won't get there. And that's what God's saying he's going to do to the nation of Israel. I'm going to put up a wall of thorns and my people will not be able to find the way to these false gods. And then what will happen? Notice what Hosea says. Then she will say, I'll go back to my first husband. I'll go back, the nation of Israel will say, I'll go back to God. Because I had it better when I was worshiping him than I do now worshiping these false gods. In verse 8, God says, because I'm the one that provided the corn and the wine and the oil, multiplied her silver and gold. And now, God's saying, I gave Israel all that. They're taking that now and giving it to Baal. They're confused. They don't know where the true blessings of life come from. All right, then in verse 9, 9 through 13, God goes a step further. Now, so in verses 2 through 5, he pleads, he sends the children, he pleads with the nation of Israel to come back. In verses 6 through 8, he talks about the punishment, the things that he's got to do to get their attention. And then in verses 9 through 13, he talks about some more things that he does to get the nation of Israel's attention to bring him back. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will utterly destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. And so there's in these verses, God says, I'm going to do five things to remind Israel, to encourage Israel to come back to me. And it's sort of like it's sort of like the shepherd when a sheep keeps wandering off, and not only does that individual sheep wander off, but it takes other sheep with them. And I mentioned Sunday morning, when a Christian backslides, when we're talking about Peter, you never backslide by yourself. You always take somebody with you. You always influence somebody else to get further away from God. Again, getting back to the shepherd, when a sheep wanders off, when a sheep leads other sheep away from the fold, the shepherd tries a lot of things to fix it. If he can't fix it, what he does is he breaks that sheep's leg and then resets it. And then puts it by itself for a little while. While it's recovering from that broken leg, it puts it by itself. After a while, he comes back and tries to feed it. Now, at first, the sheep is mad. It won't eat the food. It tries to bite the shepherd. So the shepherd leaves it alone a little bit longer, comes back again, and by this time the will of the sheep is broken. It not only eats the food, but it licks the hand of the shepherd. He brings it back into the flock, and that sheep is one of the most obedient ones in the flock because of what the shepherd's done for it. And so in these verses, God's going to do this, or God describes what he's going to do in that same light to the nation of Israel. In verse 9, he says, I'm going to return, I'm going to take away all the things that I blessed them with. So he's already said, they think that these things come from Baal. Well, they need to understand they come from me. I'm going to come take them away. I'm just going to take away all their blessings. Then, in verse 10, he says, I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her. In other words, I'll show them that Baal can't help them. You remember when Elijah went up on top of Mount Carmel? They had a contest. Elijah said, hey, it's time to decide. Is God God or Baal God? And they built an altar. They laid a sacrifice on it. And all the prophets of Baal, over 400 of them, they got up there and prayed. All the people of Israel were gathered there. And the prophets of Baal got up there and they prayed, send fire from heaven, Baal, send fire from heaven. And, of course, no fire came from heaven. And Elijah ridiculed them. He said, hey, maybe you need to speak louder. Maybe Baal's sleeping. Maybe he's gone on a little trip. But Elijah put the false god to the test. And that's what God's saying that he's going to do here. He'll discover the lewdness in the sight of all her lovers. In other words, he'll make it so that everybody sees that Baal can't help him. Verse 11, he talks about all the ceremonies that they've set up to worship Baal. He says, I'll take them all away. I'll take away all the mirth that goes along and all the solemn feast. I'll take them all away. And then he says in verse 12, I'll destroy the vines and the fig trees. The vines and the fig trees were supposedly blessings from Baal as a result of people worshiping Baal. And God says, I'll show them they're not blessings from Baal. I'll take them away. And I'll make the beasts of the earth will join in this judgment. They'll eat them up. So he says, as I try to bring my people back, I'll warn them, I'll plead with them, I'll punish them. And then in verse 14, he says, I'll not only do that, but after I punished them, I'll woo them. I'll bring them back. Notice what he says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Some people think, well, here's God trying to get the nation of Israel into a secluded spot so that he could whisper sweet nothings in her ear. That may be, you can interpret it that way, but you can also interpret it that God's getting them into the wilderness after he's stripped everything away so that they have to depend on him. Then in verse 15, and I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. The valley of Achor was where they took Achan. You remember when he stole the wedge of gold and the Babylonian garment from the city of Jericho? They put Achan and his family in the valley of Achor and punished him for stealing from God. And the valley of Achor was always represented a place of punishment. And God was saying, now look, in that place of punishment, because you've departed from me, I'm going to make a door of hope, because I'm going to call you back to myself. And it shall be that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Bali. Now, let me just talk a little bit about those two words real quickly. The word Bali represents a mistress, all right, a relationship that's a mistress type of relationship. I mean, there's a relationship there, but it's not built on, it's not sanctified. Good, thank you. And where the word Ishi means husband, the husband-wife relationship. And so God's saying, I don't want you I don't want us to have a relationship like a mistress. I want us to have a relationship like a husband and wife. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by that name. In other words, God says, I'm going to take their memory out of your mind. And then in verse 18, and in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, and with the fowl of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. God says, I'll take war away from you. As you come back to me, I'll make the animals quit eating the vines and the fig trees. I'll return them to you, and I'll take away war. In verse 19, he says, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. And I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And what God's saying, he's saying, I don't want us to have a relationship like a mistress, because that can end. I want us to have a relationship like a husband and wife that's eternal. And I will give you, God says, I will give you what's needed to make that relationship last forever. Things like righteousness, loving kindness, mercies. And that's what God does. You stop and think about it. That's what God does for us when he saves us. I mean, he comes to us when we don't deserve it. He calls us out of there and joins us to him in a relationship. And then he gives us what that relationship needs to last forever. He makes us one of his children. And that's what God's saying he's going to do to the nation of Israel. And then in verse 21 through 23, he talks about the blessings that he's going to give Israel after they come back to him. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. And that's God's purpose. That was his purpose as we begin this chapter. How does he get his people back? How does he get to be their God again? How does he get them to be his people again? And how does he do it? He pleads with them. He judges them and punishes them. And then he gets them apart where he can woo them back to him, and then he blesses them. And what a wonderful picture it paints for us of what God's done for us. I mean, he's done the same thing for every single one of us when he made us his children. And then he does the same thing when we get away from him, when we wander. He does the same thing. I mean, when we wander away from God, what does he do? He comes after us, and he punishes us, and he reminds us of what's important and where true blessings come from. And he woos us back to himself. What a wonderful God that we have. I mean, and what a wonderful picture the book of Hosea paints. Any question or comment?